The afflictions of the righteous are many, but God delivers them out of it all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, boy. So you know what? God has been doing such special things in our brother, and I wonder what is to come, you know? What else? What else, Lord? What are you doing? And then when you come back and we all see you, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And that's what's on our minds, and that's what's on our hearts. Amen? Should I go forth with the word, or should I just... All right, okay. Father, we earnestly desire to move in the Spirit, God. I want to thank you so much that you have given us a gift, the Spirit of the living God. Father, you have given us everything we need here on earth. You have equipped us, God. And I think the most precious gift is the sweet Spirit of the living God. Thank you so much. Spirit of God, I just ask you to anoint this word. And I just lean on you. Love you so much. Give you praise, glory, and honor, oh God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. When I first heard about my brother having to go through this, I was angry at the enemy, but I know that God works all things out for the good, right? For those that walk according with the Lord, for those that are set aside, set apart. And so I know God is about a wonderful, wonderful good work. So we just don't want to see our loved ones suffer, right? But I know, even that, God will be there and covering him. So thank you so much, Lord. You know, I was thinking about America, the land of the free, the land of the brave. And I was thinking about how when I was growing up and, hearing about our country, learning about our country, and I knew in my heart at that time that America was like the greatest country in the world. Can anybody say amen? And it was godly. It was a worshipful, government and people. And it was about men making things better. And there were prayer meetings. And I think about how awesome, growing up, like I lived at that time, would say, I live in the greatest country in the whole world. But you know what? Last week, we were sitting in the cafe, and we started talking about how things are getting so bad, in America, all around the world. And I said to my sister, I don't live in America. I live in a kingdom. I live in a kingdom. Amen. And America is changing every day. Our American standards were so high, and everything is getting low, low, low. And everything that we believed in America is being taken away, eradicated. Before our very eyes, our former leadership of years ago, under the American standards, like I said, the standards were very high. America the Beautiful, God shed his grace on thee. But now, where we are, we just have to separate ourselves from everything and know that we live in a kingdom, the kingdom of God, here on earth. How awesome that we were separated, that we were called, that we were chosen, and even that we were chosen to walk in an hour in this day and time. Because we are here for such purposes. America is not a Christian nation any longer. Actually, the church is beginning to stand alone. But she is mighty. She is powerful. To the pulling down of strongholds. Amen. Prayer is so important. I'm a little discouraged about prayer in this church, and I have been for a while. And we've narrowed prayer down to once a month in the cafe on the second Tuesday. And we do send a message home to every home that we have prayer on Tuesday. Second Tuesday of every month at 7 o'clock. About an hour. We have maybe 7-8 people that come. But I don't understand, especially in this hour. We've had other prayer times too. Tuesday morning, we would have a group of ladies would get together, and we would let the church know too. And that dwindled down. And I remember one time I came, and I was alone. I pray that the Holy Spirit puts a fire unto all of us to realize, especially the hour that we're living in. Especially, we're so instrumental here, and we're so anointed here on the earth that we know who we are, and we take a stand, and we become soldiers for the living God. You know, when a soldier enters an armed forces, he's no longer belongs to himself any longer. He belongs to the Army or the Navy or the Marines, whatever it is, Air Force. And he kind of have to, you know, sign on the line, like, I'm going to do everything that you want me to do, and I'm going to go everywhere you want me to. You understand what I'm saying? But we are also in the army of God. And we have to realize that there is a part we have to play, a place we have to fill. You know, I think about our young people. Maybe especially in America, sometimes I will go, on my phone and I'll just see what's going on. And if people, I see that the children are so argumentative. They think they know everything. They're being bombarded with terrible, even what they're learning in college, especially in high school and in junior high, even younger, what they're learning and what they're growing up in and what they're becoming. And they put up such a fight. If somebody tries to just show them the way, or just, you know, show them what's wrong with their way or whatever, and they become very aggravated and very angry, and they rise up, and then the filth that comes out of their mouths, they have such tempers. They're very, very easily agitated. These are our young people. Now, I know that's not all the young people, because I know that today God is doing a work and calling young people into churches, into the family of God also. But my heart cries for what the others believe in, and what they are accepting, and what they are becoming. Let's just turn to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy chapter 3. verses 1 to 4. The last days, it's entitled. But you know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. And 4, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And this is where we're at right now. Does everybody see this? Can everybody say amen? You know, only the church, only believers, only spirit-filled believers can make a difference. But you know what? I think that some of the church is falling asleep. You know, falling asleep. And we have preached so much about not letting our fire go out. And so it concerns me. But what do we do? Pray. Pray for souls, right? Pray for his kingdom to come. One day, the government will be upon his shoulders. Imagine living in a land, maybe we'll still be in America, but the whole world will be in his hands. And he, Jesus Christ, will have control of everything. And imagine having him as our, I'll say, kind of like president, because he will be the ruler of the whole world. Amen? You know, in Luke 17, verse 21, I was going to open it up, but we don't have that much time. So Luke 17, 21, it speaks about the kingdom of God being within you. Okay. So we think about what we used to have, America used to be, and yet we're walking around and the kingdom of God is within us. And we have to awaken to that and understand what is that? The kingdom of God, life abundant inside of you. We are an anointed people. What is that? Anointed people. Blessed. Power. Chosen. Authority. Wow. Just to mention a few characteristics of chosen people. And John the Baptist, I love the scriptures about when Mary, Jesus' mother, her aunt, Elizabeth, when they were both pregnant, Mary went to visit her aunt, and Elizabeth was pregnant with John the Baptist, and Mary was pregnant with the Son of God. And when Mary walked in the room, when she said something, she greeted and she said something. What happened inside of her? John the Baptist, that little baby inside of her, her womb jumped and she felt it. I believe when that happened, the kingdom of God came to the world. All of a sudden, I really believe that there was a spiritual, like a burst of kingdom authority and holiness came at that time. And I just want us to get the picture that we're carrying that kingdom. We're carrying that anointing. We're carrying that in our bosom. We're carrying it all over. When we open our mouths, there's an anointing that breaks yokes. And at certain times, God has called each one of us. Do you ever realize all of a sudden maybe a neighbor invited you over for lunch or you're just with people and they're really not believers, and they're all talking, but all of a sudden you start to say something and it gets quiet. Did you ever have that? You ever notice that? You ever notice it? Because you don't even realize that you're carrying the anointing that breaks yokes. So it's so important for us to take our places in this timing, know who we are, and that there's such a calling on us. And you know what? A lot of people don't like Christians. Right? There will be persecution. And I think that the persecution will get greater, but I think that a great, great number of people are going to come into the reality of Jesus' birth, his life, his death for them. I believe that there is going to be an end time revival or an end time awakening, but the others stand back, you know? And sometimes things happen and that, you know, a surgery is needed or something like that. And all of a sudden, okay, maybe I will ask somebody to pray. But God is just such a wonderful, wonderful work. And we are maturing. Can you sense that? There's a maturing process taking place in you. Can you feel that? God is like growing up his sons and daughters. He's growing us up. The things that used to bother us, maybe don't bother us anymore. We're a little bit more grown up than that. You know, God is doing such a work across the board in the church. And he's going to be purifying us. But John the Baptist was the one that said, and I said this before, that when those babies both, something happened, they both kind of like, you know, jumped in the womb, the kingdom of God began on the earth. And when John the Baptist was preaching, walking, and he was kind of breaking the foul ground for Jesus to come, what was he saying? The kingdom of God is amongst us. The kingdom of God is amongst us. And so we're carrying that kingdom. And are we living in the kingdom? Or are we still having little girl thoughts, little boy thoughts? Are we thinking about the kingdom? And we're thinking about the calling that we have at this particular time. It's so important to be able to hear God's voice. It's so important to be able to sense his presence. It's so important that we are worshipers that carry joy. And I was thinking about in the upper room when the people, 120 people, were waiting for something to happen. They didn't really, okay, God's going to come, God's going to strike us, we're all together, we're all in one accord, we're all praying, we're all waiting. There was peace there. There was joy there. There was strength. And they were all in one accord. That's the kingdom. And that seems almost impossible, but the supernatural brought everyone onto the same team, so to speak, the same mindset, the same heartbeat, the same prayer, the spirit of that waiting and that expectation, you know. Church, we've got to get together more. We've got to be together more. Church, we have to be the church. You know, sometimes I don't feel like going out. Sometimes, you know, this hurts, that hurts, whatever. But no, 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 no enemy. You're not going to slow me down. You're not going to keep me home. No, I will rise above you. How many of you have not felt well and said, I'm going to go anyway? And when you get there, you go, oh, I feel better. And if you stayed home, you would have sat and suffered. So in the upper room, there was true unity. And that true unity could move mountains. They were filled with wonder and glory. They forgot what was behind, and they pressed toward the mark earnestly and joyfully. And no one looked back. Boom! All of a sudden, there was wind, a mighty rushing wind. There was a sound. And all of a sudden, they were speaking in other tongues, and here they were in the kingdom, in the center of what God wanted to do at that particular time, that particular place. And I want to be found in a particular time at a particular place in my life. You understand? Don't you want it all? Aren't you greedy when it comes to the things of God? Greedy! Oh, God, I'm not going to leave you alone until you give me this gift and you give me that anointing. I have to, come on. I think God loves when his children come to him and ask for more, and ask for more, and ask for more. America doesn't have a president . But we have God who is present at all times. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We need to live a life according to our King, under the authority of the King of Kings. We have a new mind that flourishes under his word. And God is transforming our minds constantly. Constantly. Let us be pregnant with his purposes and live out his plan for our lives. Let the kingdom come. Let thy will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Have your way with me, God. I'm waking up, Lord. And Father, I know I'm a powerhouse. Do you know how I know that? Because the Spirit of the living God lives in me. We have to live a life according to our King, under the authority of the King of Kings, and have that new mind that flourishes in his word. And know that we're pregnant with his purposes. You know, God has an army who live in the light of his coming. A lot of darkness in this world, but we live in the light of his coming, in the hope of his coming. That's where we live, move, and have our being. Live each day as if he is coming this day. Think about that for a minute. He's coming today. I'll just go about, you know, what I have to do. But bursting with such joy, unspeakable, full of glory. I want to be filled with glory, with the presence of the living God inside of me. Expect miracles. When you pray, expect miracles. We recently had a miracle, but I'm not going to be sharing that. But we had a miracle. It was one of the worst days of our lives. But something was coming, and I knew it. Something was coming, and I knew it, and I knew it, and I knew it. And that's a whole sermon on its own. And all of a sudden, something broke, something happened, and we knew. It was like the whole atmosphere, the environment changed around us. Whew. Wow! And we were able to walk in it, to receive it. Good, good, good God. But you know what? Stay awake. Don't fall asleep. All of this is not for this, you know, little sleeping ones. No, alive. If we could live to be 100, stay alive in God. Get excited in God. And keep his promises and his words ever before you, before your eyes. Things are getting worse in America, but things are getting better in here. Things are getting better in here, the Church of Jesus Christ. Kingdom thinking, kingdom goals, kingdom rewards as we go through our lives here on earth in the fullness of God's presence, full of faith. Jesus experienced a very hostile world with betrayal, poverty, hunger, violence, but he was banking everything on God's promises. Everything. Love compelled Jesus, not fear, right? Love compelled Paul, not fear. God is raising a radical army. He's raising up a radical army. Young people, middle-aged people, and the elderly. If you want to be part of that army, amen. But in order to be part of that army, we have to be a little extreme. Like, I'll give you a little hint. Love your enemies. That's what it takes. The opposite of the way we've been living. The opposite that is so normal, human to us. Flesh goes down. Love your enemies. Only God can do that, and only if we ask for it. And I believe that that's the radical army that God is raising up. That is radical, isn't it? You're being called into an army. Do you want to remain just a civilian? God is calling us to join the armed forces, an army armed with truth and love. God said, I watched you form in your mother's womb. Now he's watching us become reformed and transformed. God's eyes are on us. God's eyes are on the church. And the Spirit of God is waking us up. Deeper, deeper ways. Higher thoughts and deeper ways. You've been bought by someone's blood. He purchased you. He purchased me with his blood. And there is life in the blood. Abundant life. And every drop of blood came out of him when he hung on that cross and spiritually came to us with life abundant. Amen. Jesus is the anointed one. And we are the anointed ones. For the hour, let us get past the hurts and wounds, you know. Some people could be 50, 60, 70, 80 years old and still walking around in their childhood wounds. Oh, my God. You want to spend life like that? You want to do that? It's like, I don't know, when I said that, I saw a chick in an eggshell. And I saw that, you know, stalk in there and it's gooey and you can't hear anything, and all of a sudden the chick is beating on it, making a little hole, and it finally opens up and he comes out, and then he starts to sprout those feathers, you know? Some people just live in a very dark domain, and some people are still talking about what happened to them 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And sometimes when they talk about these things, they get angry. Like they just happened. You know what? That's the dead walking. You understand what I'm saying? Got a couple of hands. Got more. Okay. No. No. God has so much for us. Life. God has so much for us. Power. God has so much for us. Joy. God has so much for us. Love. Love. Just begin to come out of our shells. Just begin to really meditate on the word. I had scriptures and everything, but maybe that's for another time. But just begin to realize that you could be in your 50s or 60s or 70s or 80s or 90s, but God still wants to do so much more in you, and he still wants you to do so much more in him. Amen. sometimes I feel like it's only just beginning because I know so much more than I did last week. And why is God downloading so much? If you open up your spiritual ears, you're going to start hearing things. You're going to start seeing things with spiritual eyes that you've never seen before. And it's very exciting. The Bible says to pray for those that despise you. It's like everything that we learned since we were little, just tear it up. Just tear it up and open up a nice, clean page. And take everything that the Word of God gives us. Take everything, not with a grain of salt, but picturing it materializing, the Word materializing inside of you. Meditate. Meditate. I think that it's so easy to say in James where God, the Word says, draw close to me and I will draw close to you. You know, I had like a little, and that's a scripture we always mention, we've read it, but I got like a little more of a understanding. As you draw close to me, I draw closer to you. What a beautiful scripture. Beautiful. So what we have to do is draw closer to him. What do you think? How could we draw closer to him? Somebody shout out. Yeah, spending time, get in the Word, meditating. Yes, yes. And also, call him. Call him. God, you said, if I draw close to you, you will draw closer to me. I'm drawing. I'm coming nearer. I'm pressing. And then believe that he's doing the same. And then do it. And believe he's doing the same. And do it. And do it. And do it. You might start laughing. You might start crying. Because you might feel something. That's all we have to do. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call upon the name of the Lord. Call God. Get closer. Pray for someone you loathe. Not you love, you loathe. Let's do the opposite. Because Jesus came down and he took everything and he turned it upside down. Remember when he went into that church? He made that big mess. What was going on there? He turns everything upside down. A whole world dramatically changed. But we want the mind of Christ. I'm sick of this. This is boring. Day after day, same old thing. Now I want the mind of Christ. I want to be crisp and have the mind of Christ. I want it to be intense. I want to feel what Jesus is feeling. I want to feel when God is just pouring out love. I want to feel that love. Or if he's correcting me, I want to feel that correction. So I want to walk with him. Pray for someone you loathe. The one that you have. You feel an intense dislike or disgust. That's the one you pray for. The one that you could actually say, you know, I kind of like almost hate him. That's the one you pray for. Let's do everything upside down. That's kingdom living. This is abundant life. In Christ, it is freedom, real freedom. God is calling us to lay down our lives, people, like a soldier. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits. Amen? Since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him. Remember, you have been born for such a time as this. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. God didn't say, stay away from them. You know, you see that? You hear that? Run away from it. He said, no, go tackle it. He said, wrestle. Wrestle with the word, the sword of your mouth, right? And maybe we used to do these things years ago. Maybe when you first got saved, you were on fire and, you know, but you know what? Feed the fire. Maybe you've got to call it back. You've got to pray. You've got to cry out to God. But most of all, you have to feed that fire. If you leave a fire alone in the middle of this room, and of course you put rocks around it or something, it's going to go out, right? Feed the fire aggressively. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood. No, we pray for flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and against spiritual wickedness in high places. But we also wrestle against ourselves to get rid of all malice. That's not easy. That's not easy. You hurt my child? Oh, I'm going to be sorry. When it comes to someone we really love, one of our treasures, what? God said, yep. You know why I allowed that? Because you're going to pray for that person. Somebody else won't, but you're going to pray for that person. Upside down, lopsided, topsy-turvy, Pastor Diane. People, let's get upside down, topsy-turvy, lopsided, whatever we want to call it. But let's get, what's a good word? Let's get radical. And what? Intentional. Radical what? Aligned. Oh, mind aligned. Mind aligned. Align my mind. God, drain my brain and align my mind. In Jesus' name. Get rid of all bitterness, the word of God says. Rage, anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. God is calling us simply to forgive. That's not that easy. But God does that inside of us. He turns off one switch and turns on another inside of us. It's him doing it. We ask for it. And you stay in that place until you feel it's done. And if you have to go out and pick up the kids, or you have to go out and do something, later on you get back into that place until you can say, it is done. We're here to please him. Amen. It's time to be radical with ourselves. You know, Jesus died for the one who beat him, the one who spit on him. He died for the one who mocked him. He died for the one who nailed him to the cross. And he said, Father, forgive, for they know not what they do. God. What do you think? As the nails were going into his hands, there he was, forgiving. There he was, forgive them. They don't even understand what they're doing, God. Don't hold this against them, God. The Son of God. God is calling us higher, and he's awakening us in this hour. There's a sleeping church. She's a beauty, but she's a sleeping beauty. We don't want to be like that. We want to be aroused. We want to live on the edge if you know what I mean, spiritually. We want to, when we see him and he has rewards for us, we don't think about the rewards, or maybe we do. It's fine if you do. But they're set aside for us. Maybe sometime we'll do a teaching on rewards, but it's the Father God, that has certain things set aside for you because of certain moments that you touched his heart. And imagine that there are going to be rewards, different crowns, different rewards, different things. We have so much to look forward to. And guess what? Living like that, ruling and reigning with Jesus, or living in the presence of God, and however, you know, you have studied heaven and whatever, it's forever. It's forever. When you were a little kid, you waited for Christmas and Christmas was over. Or maybe you were getting married and you planned your wedding and every detail and everything, and then it was over. But this God has eternal gifts for us by your Heavenly Father, who has created them for you. I could go on and on, but this, come on. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Listen, you have joined the Army, whether you know it or not. The Navy, the Marines, the Air Force. But we're all in God's Army. You've joined it. And you're going to get your assignments from God. Make sure we're walking in what God is calling us to. Hard battles are coming. They are. To this land, to the earth. Hard battles, hard things are coming. Your ammunition comes through obedience to Christ. That's where you're going to have your steadfastness. That's where your authority is going to be, in your obedience to Christ. It's the flesh that's got to go. You know, it's got to go. And so easily it could get disturbed. We're growing up together. We're all being raised by a wonderful Father who's growing us up. And we need to be all in. God will supply our needs, grace, peace, life in the Spirit. The people who hurt you or hurt someone you love, you have the power, the greater power and anointing to set them free. First of all, by forgiveness. Hold nothing. Hold nothing against anyone. Let it all go. All of it. Just let it go. Whether it's someone done something to you, something that's done something to somebody you love, whatever it is, let it go. And don't just let it go. Go to prayer. Blessings. Blessings. Remember, God has rewards. And you have the power more than another person when you pray for that person, because you're bending your heart. And I just have a sense that there are different sounds in heaven. There are different lights. That's just me. But when someone repents, when someone is really bowing down before God, I feel like it's a symphony in heaven. And and the angels cry, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." How important it is to lay down our lives for others. The hardest times will become your harvest times. Amen. Amen. God's got wonderful, wonderful things for his church. wonderful things. I hope that we're all pregnant, and I hope that we're all going to give birth, and I hope that we're all going to bring our little babies into the church. Amen. Would you stand with me? Father, we absolutely adore you. Father, when we learn more about your heart, who you are, it's so exciting. It's such a wonderful adventure, and it changes us. Father, I pray, Lord God, that everyone in this room, me included, all of us, Lord God, when we come aside and spend time with you, Father, would you show us truth, truth, truth that will set us free? Because, Father, there's a fortress of lies inside of us that have to come down. Since we were little people, there's been this fortress built inside of us. But Lord, all you have to do is look at it, and it will crumble in your presence. Father, I pray, God, that we will hear you calling us to come into your presence. And that, Father, we will keep calling on you until we feel it surrounding us, your presence, Lord. That we will have ears to hear what you're saying. Discernment to understand, God. Growth when we receive, God. We want to change. We want to change. And Father, the word that keeps coming to me is tender. I feel like you're saying, stay tender before me. Tender. Stay tender. Tender before me. So all the calloused places in our hearts, burn them, God. Burn them away. That our hearts will beat harder and faster for you. Father, I pray, Lord God, that every anointing, every gift that you've given every person in this church will come alive more and more, oh God. And we pray for even more gifts, Lord. But more than anything, give us love. The word tells us, oh God, that you are love. And within that, there's so much forgiveness. Thank you for forgiving me, God. Thank you, God, for forgiving me daily. You're forgiving me. I'm asking for it. Father, we're asking for the mind of Christ, the heart of God and the mind of Christ, and the supernatural power of Holy Spirit. And we're going to keep asking. We're going to keep knocking. And we're believing. When we ask, we will receive. Change us, Lord. Get us ready. Get us ready for what's coming, Lord God. Your yoke is easy and your burden is light. Thank you. Thank you, God. We surrender. Come deeper, Lord. Deeper, Lord God. Transform our minds, God. Father, we've joined the army. We've joined the armed forces. Hallelujah. We're giving our lives over. Hallelujah. So that we will make a difference in this world. Order our steps. Fine-tune our ears, God. And Father, I pray, God, that every time we look back, look at a hurt, look at something, Lord God, that you don't cast your eyes on, that we, God, will realize and we would cast our eyes back on you. Back on you. Thank you, Father, for you've chosen us to live. You chose us to live in this time, in this era, oh God. Thank you. Mature us. Give us wisdom, Father. And let us see things the way you see them. Turn us upside down, God, and shake off everything that is not of you. For we want to serve you. We want to do your will. We want to make a difference in the time that we have here. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. That's for you, God. That's for you. Amen.
Goes so appropriately with what Pastor Diane just shared about loving our neighbors and loving our enemies and being patient with those who annoy us and persecute us and aggravate us and frustrate us. I was just online yesterday and I saw this picture with a caption. The picture was through the windshield of a car looking at the car in front of them. And what the caption said was, on the back of this car in front that he was looking at, this car was driving erratically, slow, and whatever. And there was a little sign in the back window of the car, and it said, I'm learning how to drive stick shift. Please be patient with me. And the caption went on to say, you know, he started to think to himself, wow, for somebody learning how to do stick, they're really doing pretty good. You know, I got to give them a lot of credit or whatever. Then he says, but then all of a sudden it dawned on me, if that sign wasn't in the back of that car, he says, how aggravated I would have started getting with them. Perhaps start cursing them out. What's wrong with you? Don't you know how to drive? Maybe went around them and maybe yelled at them or whatever. And he ended with saying, we don't walk around with a sign on our back explaining what we're going through. If that sign wasn't in the window of the car, he would have gotten very frustrated and aggravated with that person. So when somebody's frustrating you or aggravating, they don't have a sign hanging on their chest or their back telling you, you know, I just got diagnosed with a serious illness. I just lost my house. I'm going through a divorce. You don't know why they're acting the way they're acting. So we need to be more patient. We need to love them and be more patient and more understanding because we don't walk around with signs on our back. Amen? Amen.
No.